In this episode, a middle-aged man goes back to simpler times. No internet, no TV, no mobile phone, none of it. I'm going to disconnect for a week. So in this episode, I'm going to take on a task which in theory should be reasonably doable and reasonably achievable. But in some ways, I think this is the one that I have been most, in some ways, looking forward to, but also quite anxious about. Every sort of electronic device I have in the house is going to be confiscated. I'm going to deliberately hide it away at my sister's house. She's going to keep it under lock and key for the next 7 days. The only time I can think of doing something similar was about 20 odd years ago. I had a job for a while when I was away at sea for about 6-7 weeks. That, I suppose, technically was the last time I went 7 days or more than 7 days without any access to any of these things. But that's also 20 years ago. That's before the internet, smartphones, all of that stuff was even a thing. I think back then dial-up internet was the thing that you used. So losing internet access back then wasn't really a big deal. Not having a phone certainly wasn't a big deal because most people, I don't even know if I had a phone back then. Not going without TV, well, yeah, I suppose that was a strange thing, but this is going to be really strange. And I'm going to spend a few days with a company called Active Outdoors, who are going to take me on a kayaking trip down the River Spey. I'm going to take with me a digital camera. I'm also going to take with me a very cheap £10 pay-as-you-go phone, one of those kind of 1990s phones that's got no internet access at all. And I'm going to use that just purely for the sake of emergencies. And the only other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take a small recording device with me, but there's going to be nothing else on that apart from what I record over the next 7 days. It's kind of weird, actually, when I think about going without a mobile phone, because sitting in front of me just now, I've got a digital camera, a small mobile phone, and an audio recording device, which are about five times bigger than a mobile phone would be if you put them all together. So I'm going to see how it all goes when I pack it all together, but trying to not do without a phone is really strange because purely for the sake of taking up loads of space, you kind of realize how useful phones can be in terms of compacting so much of your life into a small little space rather than carrying around separate items. But so the plan is today is my last day online, and then for the next 7 days, I will be completely disconnecting from the modern world. It's going to be strange trying to deal with that stuff and not being able to know what's actually happening or how to get somewhere. But we'll see how it goes. So the next recording I anticipate will be at the end of day one of the kayaking trip. Hopefully by the end of day one, I won't have completely lost my sanity, although we shall see. So it's the end of the first day. And it's been an absolute breeze. Well, I suppose it's taking a day and a half now since I started. Today was a lovely day. Met up with the guys at Active Outdoors, our tour guide Leanne, and six other guys who are with me. Two father and son combos and two friends from down south who are up for a holiday. And it's absolutely lovely. Beautiful scenery, absolutely stunning scenery along the River Spey. The only problem is I realised about 15 minutes in how crap at kayaking I am because I capsized the bloody thing. So pretty early on, there's me soaking through, making a complete tit of myself. Thankfully, I stayed afloat the rest of the journey, although a few others had a bit of a wobble. I kind of took in it that kayaking was really easy and it's actually, you've got to have a bit of skill to actually navigate the damn thing, especially in rivers when it gets quite choppy. But yeah, apart from that, like I said, 5 hours of kayaking, beautiful scenery. And in terms of disconnecting for a week and all that kind of stuff, it's been a blast. It's been easy. I'm not thinking about the internet or social media or anything like that. I'm not even thinking about home comforts. I'm feeling very calm about everything because of that. Just a bit of turn in for the night, going to my tent for the night. I'm not usually a big fan of camping, but hopefully I can survive it in one piece. Yeah, let's see what tomorrow brings. So it's day two of the trip and it's day three of the 7 day challenge. And it's official that I absolutely hate camping. As always with camping, I found myself horribly uncomfortable last night. Couldn't get myself settled, couldn't get comfy. Lumps and bumps underneath my back and my shoulder, my arse and everything else. So kind of writhing around all night. And of course, there's some arse in the tent next to me snoring his head off. So you can't get comfortable, you can't relax. But apart from that though, to be honest, being out here makes it feel very easy to switch off. I mean, even when I went to my tent last night, I had the option of reading, but didn't even want to. I think when you have a day outside and you're busy and you're keeping active, you don't really think about keeping yourself occupied with
social media or online stuff, internet stuff at all. So I'm not missing it. So yeah, hopefully today will be another good day with beautiful scenery, absolutely gorgeous scenery, so peaceful and quiet. And but yeah, overall, quite enjoying the time away. Day 3 of the challenge, day 2 of the trip, and looking forward to what the day has in store. I'm here with Leanne Trindle, who's the trip leader with Active Outdoor Pursuits, based in Newton Moor. And Leanne's the tour leader who's been taking us on this fabulous kayaking trip and canoeing trip down the River Spey. So we just finished day 2, and we're currently sitting outside Granton-on-Spey. So first of all, how long have you worked with Active Outdoor Pursuits for?
So this will be my first season with them. We did a little bit of in-house training before the season started. I guess that all kind of kicked off around April time. We got our first clients in. Mm-hmm. I'm planning to be with them for a long time though, because it is my dream job.
So how did you get into that kind of job or that line of work?
Well, I think it all started for me when I was traveling New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And I was a horse trek guide in Hamlet Springs. And I just thought, this is great. I love meeting the people. I meet people from all around the world with different stories, sharing something that I love with them. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went from horse trek guide. Then I went into scuba diving, taught scuba diving for 5 years. And then I thought, I need something all year round that I can do that I love as well. Mm-hmm. So then I thought, adventure guide.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So what would you say would be your favourite part of the job?
That is tricky.
You can choose two. I'll let you two. I'll give you two if you want. Go on.
Despite being a new sport for me, I actually really love rock climbing.
Okay.
I just took to it. I'm like a little gecko on the wall. I would actually say river trips as well. And I'm not going to put a craft on that, because I love whitewater rafting down the river as much as I love these sort of multi-day tours. Mm-hmm. They've both kind of got something special for me.
And are there any things about the role that you have that you think it's not the best?
Okay.
Be honest.
The only downside really to this job is when everything's done and you wave goodbye to the clients, and then you've got all this wet kit to wash and organize and hang up and then put away, and canoes to take off the trailer, and there's sort of a lot of behind the scenes work as well, which is okay. It's bearable when you've got someone to help you, but if you're left alone with a mountain of wet equipment to sort out, a dream job.
Apologies in advance for all the crap. I'll be throwing you away at the end.
That's all right.
So do you quite often go from one tour straight into the next, or do you have much time in between, or does it just vary?
Yeah, it varies a little bit, but generally it's quite a quick turnaround. So for example, when you guys are all finished and I wave goodbye to you, mm-hmm. I have...
It's just going to be emotional.
It will be emotional.
Of course it will.
I have a day off. And then a day of centre duties, and then I'm on my next 5-day expedition. Two nights in a bed, and then I'm straight back out into my tent again.
So if someone was to come to the company who's maybe not done any sort of outdoorsy stuff before, are there any particular tours or locations or trips that you would say are like the top two or three that you would say go for that as a starting point?
Yeah, paddling wise, I would maybe start on a loch. Mm-hmm. Just so you can kind of get used to the paddle strokes and the feel of the boat before you kind of go for a river. Saying that though, we do have an option for complete beginners to go down the river, and that is on something called a ducky,
okay,
which is a cross between a whitewater raft and a canoe. Mm-hmm. It's basically an inflatable canoe, and they are very fun. If you hit a rock, you'll just bounce straight off it. It's sort of a less serious craft, let's say. Anyone can do that. Mm. And we can teach you paddle strokes before you set off down the river.
And do you have a favourite location that you've been to in Scotland and on your trips that you sort of stands out?
Yeah. And we're coming to
it.
Not today, but the next day. We were looking at the videos last night, the washing machine. This particular stretch of the Spey is my favourite. It's fun, but also not that hazardous. It's actually one of the most straightforward stretches of the river. but the one with the bounciest rapids.
And how many of us do you anticipate is going to fall in?
All of you.
Excellent. Thanks for that. That's very reassuring.
Well, I might as well start with that expectation and be nicely surprised.
You'll be very surprised. I'll definitely go in because I think it was about 20 minutes into the first day and I was in the water. So are there any particular tours or stories that you can think of that sort of stand out?
Well, I do have one strange experience that I had with a Duke of Edinburgh group. We were doing their practice around a loch. And we'd set up for the night at our campsite. And one of the kids comes running over and it's like, we've got a problem. Jessica's stuck in sand. I'm like, eh? okay. And he's like, obviously quite distressed. So I start running over and she is stuck to the top of her thighs in quicksand, which Jeez. I didn't even knew existed in Scotland. So I went and got a big branch, worked my way slowly over to her so I didn't sink as well. And we had to dig her out.
But she got it okay in the end?
She was fine, okay. Yeah. Her clothes were very muddy, okay. But apart from that, she was fine.
Now, how are we as a tour group?
You're great.
Thank you.
You're very sociable. Yeah, we've had some good laughs. Very capable on the river as well.
We're doing okay. A couple of wobbles, but
yeah.
In terms of, just give us a quick run through of how people can book through the company and what the contacts are, etc.
You can get us through our website, which is activeoutdoorpursuits.com. Mm-hmm. And we've got an email on there. Mm-hmm. That's probably the best way. We can sort of talk you through what your best options are in regards to your experience. So our phone number is 01540-210-000.
Nice one.
Very easy.
That was pretty good. Okay, to finish off then, I've got a couple of random questions. So the first random question is, you've got three options. First option is you get to achieve the pinnacle of your chosen sport. So that you get a gold medal or you score the winning goal or the winning try, whatever it might be, whatever your chosen sport would be. Option two would be you headline at Glastonbury in front of 60,000 people. Option three is you become Prime Minister.
Oh,
Which of the three?
Definitely the first one.
The sport.
Yes.
What would be your chosen?
Climbing. Mm-hmm. And probably it would be something epic like in Yosemite.
Oh.
Do one of the big wall climbs. Maybe the Dawn Wall, you know.
So that'd be a dream.
Have a film made about me.
I can see it now, yeah. I can see it now, yeah. Well, I can see the titles rolling in front of me.
Yeah.
Right. Second one, you've kind of already given the game away, but would you say that this is your absolute ideal dream job? Or if you could, what would be your absolute ideal dream job or location to do it in?
This definitely would be my dream job, being an adventure guide. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Scotland, but as I've said to you, the plan was New Zealand. Or Canada, even Japan. I mean, I could list off loads of exotic countries, but the truth is Scotland is a pretty, well, to me, quite an exotic and little slice of paradise as well.
Yep.
So right now, yeah, I would say I'm in my ideal location, in my dream job, but, you know, maybe chuck Japan in there just because I love the idea of Japan.
Okay, the final thing is, part of the reason I'm here this week is to take part in this podcast series that I'm doing where I'm taking various challenges. So the one I'm currently on is to disconnect for a week. Now, you've done something like that or even more extreme than that before.
Yes, I did a meditation called Vipassana. Mm-hmm. And what it is a 10-day silent meditation retreat where at the very beginning you give in all your media, so your phone, your books, your writing materials, anything like that, or your music, any distraction is taken away from you. You're sort of given your own little room. You're not allowed to do any exercise or any yoga. You're not allowed to talk, get eye contact with anyone or communicate in any way, apart from like the leaders who are kind of there to support you if you have a problem.
Now, can we just clarify, you hadn't committed a crime or anything to lead up to this? You hadn't been like, sent to this place? No, okay. Just wanted to check on that one.
No, I was doing this out of choice.
It was voluntarily, yeah. Okay. I thought you maybe killed someone or something, okay.
So for me, it started as the challenge of not being allowed to talk, because I do love talking a lot. For me, I went in for that reason, just to see if I could. Mm-hmm. It quite early on became obvious that it was going to have a more profound effect. It's a spiritual journey, it follows Buddhist teachings. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a spring cleaning of the soul, is sort of how I saw it. The meditation, you meditate like 11 hours a day. maybe it got a little bit boring at times. But again, that's another test of character strength.
It certainly would be.
Yeah. But you're basically alone with your own thoughts.
And did you come out a bit a better person, do you think?
I did. I definitely came out feeling much lighter and positive. I would recommend it to everybody.
Well, I've got to say, like, doing this has been actually quite easy.
Yeah.
So far. I mean, I suppose I'm cheating a wee bit by kind of going away from home and trying this and keeping very busy, but
yeah,
I've like even last night when we came back to the camp, I didn't feel like I wanted to read or do anything. I just wanted to crash.
Yep.
I suppose a couple of whiskeys didn't do me any harm.
It certainly helps.
Okay, so what's in store for us today? What's coming up ahead?
We are cruising down a nice wide river, but the river is picking up speed now, especially after yesterday's little downpour.
That was not little. That was significant.
Okay.
Let me just clear that up.
I mean, everyone got wet.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. It should be, after a nice, exciting start to the morning, it should be a cruisy trip today, with very exciting day being tomorrow.
That's the washing machine, etc. Yes. Tomorrow. Okay, we'll look forward to that. Listen, yeah. Thank you very, very much for your time.
Oh, my pleasure.
Really appreciate it. Thanks, Liam.
Bye.
It's the start of day 4, which is the last full day of the trip. Last night we spent the night camping on the side of the Spey near the village of Craganmore. Had a lovely evening. We're now going to head off down for the last full day of the trip. Supposedly today's the sort of the quickest, fastest bit of the river. There's supposed to be a really fast stretch called the washing machine, which is going to be where you get into the really fast rapids and get chucked from side to side. So that should be quite exciting. So it shouldn't take us too long to get down to the next stop, which is our last night camping. I still officially don't like camping. I'm still cramped and stiff and sore and smelly and sweaty and stinking of my own wee and all sorts of things. But I can tolerate it. Things are good. Disconnecting for the week is going really, really well. Rather enjoying the sense of calm that comes without having to worry about social media and emails and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, just feeling very chilled out about the whole thing. So ready to head off for the fourth and final day of the trip. There's potentially the chance that a couple of people might fall in the water, which could be quite amusing. And hopefully I'm not one of them, but I expect that I will be. So here we are at the rapids. Everyone's through. All 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Gents to my right, Leanne up front, and the other two have drifted off 5 miles downstream. But everyone's through the fabled washing machine rapid, so that was job well done.
So it's the last night of the tour down the River Spey. So the seven is on the tour, and our tour guide Leanne, who's very kind and very safely got us down to the.
Not yet.
29 kilometres to go.
So guys, how have we enjoyed the trip?
Fantastic.
Very well.
Superb. Absolutely fantastic. The scenery is magnificent.
Yeah.
And the people.
Great company.
Yeah,
it's been a great.
And Leanne, you've done a fantastic job of leading us down there. It's been brilliant, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I've been amazed how much better we are in 2 days. No. We could barely get in the thing on Saturday morning.
I know. Well, do you have to tell me about it? 20 minutes in, splosh, 4 days ago.
4 days later, we feel pretty relaxed.
Saturday morning, 30 seconds in, I nearly got tipped over by a rock.
Anyone got any like highlights?
I really enjoyed swimming in the Spey. Lolling in the Spey last night.
Yeah.
In the sunshine, beautiful warm sunshine, a lovely scenic piece of river.
Yeah.
I always find like with you join a tour group, you're always kind of like that first day, like, oh, who am I going to meet? What are they going to be like? Yeah. Are they going to be a bunch of idiots, whatever? And then you realise everybody gets to know each other, everyone's relaxing and having fun. That's the best part.
It's been a lovely group.
It's been a good mix.
Yeah. It's been fantastic fun. I just think the scenery today, you know, day
special.
4. You really felt they were kind of in the middle of nowhere. It just was magnificent.
Remember when I said it was getting cruisy and then it didn't get cruisy?
There was no cruising today.
After you said it get cruisy, we went in twice.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? When you think about it, the washing machine, which is considered big, rapid.
Yeah.
It was one of the smallest challenges.
Yeah, because it's very short.
At least 3 or 4 rapids a day were much harder.
Yeah.
It was certainly the most fun, I think, for the sort of 15 seconds that you were going through it.
Right, guys, I've got a couple of random questions. I'm going to ask Simon and Matt the same questions that I asked Lee. So, gentlemen, question number 1 is, ideal scenario, this would be, So number one would be, let's say you could score the winning goal in the World Cup, or win the gold medal, or the winning putt in the Open, whatever your chosen sport is. Second thing would be to be headlining at Glastonbury in front of 60,000 people. Third scenario would be to be Prime Minister.
Oh, that's an interesting one. Okay, I'd be the score a winning goal in the World Cup. I've always wanted to do that, even though I'm a terrible, terrible footballer.
He even took that away from me.
I've always
wanted to do that. You could do the same one, it's fine.
No, I'm going to headline Glastonbury.
No.
Oh. On the pyramid stage.
What would be your genre? What kind of music style?
You know, actually, you didn't ask me that. I've had time to prepare. I feel like a soft rock. That's what I would be. Bagsy, me first this time.
Okay, go for it. Matt first. Okay, so if money and talent was not an issue, what would be your ideal dream job?
I always wanted to be a marine biologist, but I never really could apply myself academically. I was also far too lazy. So,
so I'm very, very lucky that I've been doing a job that I've always wanted to do. So 5 years old, I wanted to be a writer, and luckily.
You do have a dream.
I've had the dream.
Well, I'm going to throw the question, because this third, I didn't ask you this one, so I'm going to start with you, and then we'll go to the other two.
Okay.
Do you talk to yourself?
Yeah.
And if so, where and when or how? Or...
Oh, constantly.
Right.
Just because I find myself very interesting. it actually helps me to say things out loud, to process and understand and make good decisions.
I talk to myself all the time, but I think that's a key of a key part of living on your own, because I live on my own. I mean, I think if you live on your own, you always talk to yourself.
Is it an internal monologue, dialogue, or is it...
I have to excuse myself when other people are looking at me like, who are you talking to? I'm like, oh, sorry, just...
Yeah. I definitely talk to myself quite a lot, and I will say I consider myself to be extremely lucky, and I actually do, one of the things I say to myself most of the time is how lucky I am, and I actually say it to myself out loud just to remind myself.
Okay, Ruben Ollie, your first question is, if you could have a superpower, what superpower would you choose?
I think I'd be able to walk through walls. Because
through walls?
I always find it quite interesting seeing other people's actual... It's a bit creepy seeing other people's actual homes and things at work. But there's always doors that you love to go through and sort of see back there.
So most people say this, but I'd quite like to fly. So if I'm in a canoe and I'm about to capsize, I'd just be like, bye.
Good luck.
You see you later. You don't need to fly enough to be able to carry your dad.
I just hover above an eagle.
That's me.
Right, Jen, second question. Be any animal, which one would it be?
I would quite like to be a bird. Then I could fly. I'd love to be a big cat, a bird, or a shark. Covering all bases.
Well, I was going to say, maybe a pretty fast fish, because I've always wanted to explore underwater. But
or tuna. You can be a real fast tuna.
But then you might end up in a can.
Yeah.
Right, third question, gentlemen. If you could, which instrument, musical instrument, would you play?
For me, I play the snare drum. And I like that, but in the pipe band, but I was to be good at any instrument, like amazing, I'd probably choose a full drum kit, because they're quite good to have.
For anyone else.
You could do this main stage at Glastonbury.
Yeah!
There you go.
Mass band.
Right, the dads now. Question number one, if you could survive without one of these three, which would you be able to survive without? Option one, alcohol. Option two, meat. Option three, coffee or tea.
I'll go first. I could survive without all of these, but I think the one that would kill me the most is surviving without coffee.
Get you
really?
So get rid of meat and alcohol. Let me keep my coffee, please.
So I'm the same. So I go months on end without drinking alcohol, and I'd like to not eat any meat. So I tried to make my family not eat meat at all, and failed. But I love caffeine. Caffeine I need in my life.
Okay. Second question. If you could go to any time in history,
That's a good one.
Where would you go?
Why one of these questions?
You can chip in if you want.
Would you
want
to be the Prime Minister? I mean, come on.
So, okay, I'd probably like to be a cowboy.
Yes.
Ah, that's my one. I was going to go to the 1700s.
I like riding a horse.
Would you be, George?
And I like
pioneer. Right, the Wild West.
Just with a wagon and
yeah, exploring the
you
new world.
You're spookily similar.
I was going to say that.
I think the late 1700s, when the North America was being discovered, was a fascinating time. Exciting, a dangerous time, but also. It must have been an exhilarating time for all of these people,
true.
Especially in the Highlands, who'd had, you know, such crappy lives for the last few decades. Then to just hear about this new foreign land and sail across the ocean and everything
would
be amazing.
Stick a flag in the ground.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very, very much for your efforts. Much appreciated.
You're welcome.
So, 5.5 days since the Disconnect for a Week challenge began, and I've not long arrived back. So, first and foremost, the tour along the River Spey was an absolute triumph from start to finish. The scenery itself, the River Spey, is a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. And to do it by kayak was really unique. You're out there completely on your own. You know, the River Spey being quite shallow in parts, you're not going to get tour boats or pleasure cruises or any of that kind of stuff. It's basically you on the river. And apart from that, all you see is the wildlife. What was really enjoyable about the tour was, as well, the first day or two, the river was quite deep and quite flat and quite calm. So it took quite a lot of effort to get through the first 2 days, because you were covering quite a lot of ground without really much assistance, if you like, because the river wasn't really flowing very fast. But then day three, day four, and the last half day today, we were covering 20-odd kilometres in a lot less time and a lot less effort, because the river's just, you know, pushing you along. And that meant the last 2.5 days were such fun, because the river's just really nice and fast in some parts. I think all of the guys on the tour would say that their kayaking skills certainly improved as the tour went on. And I've got to say, I certainly would be one of them. Secondly, the group that I was with were just lovely people. Two father and sons, David and Ollie. Ollie's just turned 13 today. Kid, really nice kid. You could tell that as the tour went on, he became more and more confident and more assured of himself. And the other father and son, George and Ruben. Ruben's just turning, I think he's just turned 18, just about to set off and go to university. So as he said himself, this was a chance for himself and his dad to bond for the last time, I suppose, before he heads off and moves away from home. So that was really nice to see. And then the last two were two friends from down south. They're just lovely guys, always jovial, always fun, always having a laugh. You could tell they were really good friends as well. But they got on with the group so well and added a lot. Last but certainly not least was our tour guide, Leanne. Just really nice and relaxed and full of fun and wanted to get involved with everything. And, you know, even on the days when we were falling in and capsizing and all the rest of it, she never got, you know, too stressed or too hysterical about it. She was always really calm and really supportive and really encouraging and giving us, you know, all the training that we needed to get down the river in one piece. And, you know, you always felt very much as if she was looking out for you. And it just goes to show you that when you're doing these things, it helps when you've got a mix of people from different backgrounds and looking for to enjoy this for different reasons. And just a really nice experience from start to finish. The one thing I would say I didn't enjoy, and I still don't enjoy it, and I've tried and I've given it so many opportunities, is camping. I mean, especially for a tour like this one, you know, you're kayaking on the river all day, so you're kind of wet and you're splashing and you're spraying yourself with water. And so when you've actually got yourself settled for the night, you've got nowhere to put your wet gear. You can't dry it. And just the whole week, you're just constantly sort of halfway between soaking wet, soggy, damp. You can't put stuff outside your tent, so you have to leave it inside the tent, and your tent starts to get damp and soggy and stinky. And then today, I remember I was trying to get all the stuff packed away, and I'm kind of moving around in my tent. I'm going, what is that smell? And I'm moving around, and I'm going in the tent, out the tent. This smell just won't go away. And then I realized it was me. I absolutely stank, because I was wearing a pair of swimming shorts I'd worn for like 3 days out of five. The other pair of shorts I'd been wearing were soaking wet. The t-shirt I was wearing, I'd been wearing for 2 days. And I'm just stinking of sweat and river water and mud and just, God almighty, I'm thinking, who wants to do this? Camping is not fun. For one night, maybe it's okay. But for three, four nights in a row, it's not. So that's me. So it's now 5.5 days since I disconnected. And in the time I was away, I was so busy and I had such good company with me that I didn't even think about it. Having arrived back in my comfortable home, now you're kind of like, this maybe wouldn't have been so easy if I'd been stuck at home the whole time. So if you are going to disconnect for a week, I would strongly recommend that you fill your days with as much as you possibly can. Because when you finally get to a point where you don't really have anything to do, then you might start to get a bit stuck. So it's been 7 days without accessing the internet at all. And it's been fine. Like I said, I haven't missed the internet. I've missed TV, I think. I've missed feeling like I know what's going on in the world. And it's kind of weird in a way that I don't actually know if anything significant has happened in the world in the last 7 days. So I'm going to be interested to see how that goes. I'm just about to switch everything on in the next couple of minutes. I think what I've really realized is that the internet, without it, the world becomes a lot smaller. I suppose it's made me realize that you can make your life quite simple if you need to. I think what the internet does is it makes the world come to you. It makes the whole world come to you. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. It's good because I like to be informed about stuff. I like to find out about things. I like to be able to see what's happening in the world. Being without that is not the worst thing in the world. So yeah, I haven't missed it. I haven't really missed it that much. What I have missed is TV or radio or some way of keeping on top of what's happening in the world and having something to entertain you, I suppose. Not having that is tricky. And it does, I suppose, make me think about what life was like for me, say 20 odd years ago, 25 years ago, when smartphones and mobile phones in general weren't a thing. And you did get by, you know, you did get by. And I think what was different then was you sought out meeting people, get through your working week and then go and meet your friends at the weekend. And that's what you looked forward to, or whether you're doing sports clubs or whatever, you would want to look forward to playing football on a midweek or a weekend or whatever. So yeah, it's kind of given me an insight into what life was like, I guess, maybe 25 years ago, which I'd forgotten about. It can be very simple. And I guess at the end of the day, when you think about your online friends, etc., do you really care about what they're doing? Not really. Do I miss the Facebook updates? No, I don't. So it's been an interesting week. Okay, well, here we go. It's time to see what has been happening over the last 7 days. 52 updates on Google Store. That's nice to know. WhatsApp. So let's have a look. I've got one group that's got 12 messages, another group with 3, another group with 11, another group with 18. 6 individual people have messaged me. But I guess I didn't expect much because most of the people I'd let know before I was signing off that I wasn't going to be online for the next week. So no one's really bothered to reach out because they haven't needed to. Messenger, again, not much going on there. So in my this tells a lot. I think emails tell you everything about the world at the moment. I've got one email from the company who I went on the kayaking trip with. I've got a couple of Amazon emails, and I have 130 junk emails. So that is pretty much the sum total of what I've been missing in the past week, which is kind of quite informative, I guess. So what's been happening in the world? Some things have happened, but I wouldn't say anything. There's not been like a 9/11 or anything happened while I've been away, so the world hasn't changed that much. How do I feel about this now? I guess it's a strange one. I mean, I've just reconnected after a week off, and having a quick look at my phone, I've realized that there's not really much that I've missed. It's weird. I was maybe expecting more of a euphoric feeling, but I just kind of feel like, oh, is that all that's really happened? Is that all that I've missed? So yeah, I guess it's a strange feeling. You feel as if on the one hand, it's good to be back in contact with the world and to see what's happening. But I also don't feel as if I've really missed anything that significant. And so therefore you're like, well, it's a mixed emotion. It's a really mixed emotion being able to go back online now and check what's been happening and check where everyone's been up to. So a few weeks on, back to normal life. The disconnect for a week challenge seems like a long way away. But I think I've realized that it was a worthwhile endeavor. And I think it has, to some extent at least, made me less dependent or less reliant on, you know, checking my phone, using the internet and all of those sort of things. As I said, certainly a challenge worth looking at again. I might revisit this one and I might try and stretch myself to do more things with the time off that I have. you know, maybe try and pick up a skill or pick up an activity that I can really pursue whilst I'm at home rather than having to dash away and do a kayaking trip or something like that. Once again, if you want to follow the sort of story of the podcast that I've been doing up to now, reminder that the Instagram page is called Brimful of Actions, and I'll be posting picture updates, etc. on there. And in the next edition, I'm going to do a combination of two things. I'm going to have my fortune told for the first time ever, and I'm going to immerse myself in a sensory deprivation tank to see how that experience works for me. Once again, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.